Now, we have several people that every Sunday watch us on Facebook Live. Belinda does it up here. They see what's going on right now. So I always tell Belinda, wait until after I read the scripture and I'm not blowing my nose. I would like to say, you know, there are some that don't get to come. Edward watches us. Edward Mitchum, he watches us. Hey, Edward. And the Hudgens watch us, and others watch us. And sometimes lost people watch us. A young man in the nursing home watches us every Sunday. So y'all pray for them as well as one another. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you have your Bible. And we will start with verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll read the first 10 verses. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, in other words, in front of him. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, as it is in these days. Excuse me. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. I want you to notice that. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Amen. And then he tells him a great thing he's going to do. But I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today about the call of God. Everybody at some time in their life hears the voice of God in one way or another, and that's your call. Amen. So today I want to preach to you just a little bit about the call of God and what will you do with it. Samuel's mother couldn't have any children. She prayed and prayed. God gave her Samuel. She made a promise to God, said, "God, if you'll give me a boy, I'll give him back to you." And he was born, and she raised him till he was weaned. And she took him down to old Eli. Old Eli was the old priest. He was getting up in age. His sight was dimming. He couldn't do the work of God like he used to. And she told him what she had done with the child. And she said, "Here's the little boy. You raise him." So he began to teach Samuel the things of the temple and the worship of the Lord. Samuel didn't know what he was doing. He was just a little boy. But as he grew older, finally one day, when Samuel was old enough to understand and Eli was too old to do the work anymore, God called him. The Bible says he didn't know the Lord yet. He lived in the temple. He served in the temple. He knew about everything that the worship was about, but he didn't know God. I think we got a lot of children in our churches like that. So ere the lamp of God went out. Now that was the candelabra, the candlesticks that represent all the tribes of Israel. And it was the priest's job to keep that thing going 24/7. But Eli couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't see good anymore. His sight was dimming. He was tired. And he lay down. I imagine he thought about many times, who's going to do this? There's nobody knocking on the door around here wanting to do this. The Levite tribe, who some children are supposed to inherit this, nobody's popped up. And he went to bed. And he didn't wake up when he was supposed to. So God called little Samuel. And he said, Samuel, you ever been asleep at night and heard somebody holler your voice? And you woke up? I have. I didn't know it was God then. I thought somebody else, but I woke up startled, heard somebody say, I didn't remember dreaming anything, I just heard somebody say my name. Samuel had never heard the Lord before. Now you gotta remember, they didn't have the whole written word of God like we have it, so he couldn't just sit down and read about God and hear God through his pages like we can. So God called him personally. He didn't recognize who it was. He got up and ran over to old Eli, who was still asleep, and said, here I am. He said, boy, I didn't call you. Now, this is South Carolina, okay? Boy's not an insult. Matter of fact, if you ever call me boy, I'll shake your hand and say thank you. He said, boy, I didn't call you. Go lay down. So he went and lay down, and the Lord said, Samuel. And he jumped up, and he ran to him again. And finally, after several times, old Eli said, look, son, that's the Lord calling you. So when you go lay down and he calls your name this time, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant. Thy servant heareth. There are several things God does in our life and when he's calling us. And if you go out across the land, this is the worst of times, but it's also the best of times. Financially, physically, we got a man in the White House who knows how to make money and create jobs. Thank God. Thank God. I didn't vote for him to be my Sunday school teacher or my pastor. I voted for him to put my church back to work. Andrew Jackson was one of the greatest preachers ever lived, but he wasn't the greatest Christian ever lived. But so we got great times. But it's also the worst of times. Our preachers have faded into nothing. Yes. Our pastors have become spiritually anemic. Amen. Our evangelists are now hirelings, yes, for the love of money. Yes. So it's the best of times, it's the worst of times. But I've got news for you. God's still calling. Yes. God's still calling. Number one, Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. He's still calling sinners. He hadn't stopped calling sinners. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he says, the God of this world has blinded them. He's calling them out of darkness. That includes church members. Amen. That includes those you read in the obituary where it says they were of the Baptist faith. That doesn't mean anything. That includes some preachers and teachers. He's calling them out of darkness. He said, come unto me all ye that labor. This is a hard world to live in. That song was perfect for this sermon. This is a hard world to live in. And if you don't think it is, you just hadn't reached maturity yet. Wait till you get there. You're going to get a shock. This is a hard place to live in. I've always known it's hard. I was raised hard. Most of you were raised hard. We know this world's hard. It's not our friend. This is not heaven. And for those of you that said heaven ain't a whole lot like Dixie, you don't want to go, I beg your pardon. If heaven is a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go. Thank God for Dixie, but I'd rather be in heaven. This is a hard place. Heartaches, heartbreaks, tear and trial and tribulation. And if you think it's not, you just are not old enough yet. Wait till you get there. And then you'll hear him call, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Sin will weigh you down. That day I got saved, I was so weighed down. And I heard him call me. He said, now, I got a little bit older. I shortened my name to Ron. But everybody I grew up with, I saw Jerry Davini yesterday, and he got on the microphone at the ball game. Said, that's right, Reverend Ronnie Ronnie's here. Everybody knew me then. My name was Ronnie. But he'd say, come unto me, Ronnie. I'll give you rest. That day I got rest, and he called me out of darkness. Ephesians 2 and 1 said, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin. I was a walking dead man. There was a movie one time, I think it's called The Sixth Sense or something. The little boy said, I see dead people. He said, the only problem is they don't know they're dead. And they want me to help them. And we as Christians, we see dead people every day, dead and trespassing sin. And they want us to help them. And they don't know that what we have is what they need. He called me out of death. He called me out of bondage. Colossians 1:13 says, and he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now I've got a choice. I'm not a Calvinist. I don't believe I have to do anything. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because he gave me the opportunity and he allowed me to trust Christ. He didn't make me trust Christ. I trusted him because I love him because he first loved me. Amen. And if you think some are born to go to hell, some born to go to heaven, you need to buy you a King James Bible and read it. But look, he called me out of bondage. I don't have to live like this world does. Now this world's got no choice, Brother King. They've got to live that way. They have no choice. It's our sin nature. We can't help it. That woman, I can't remember her name now, she's saying, I was born this way, talking about being homosexual. No, you were born this way, but it's called sinner. Whether you choose homosexuality, drunkenness, or drugs, it's just sinner. Amen? You were born a sinner. You can't help yourself. You're in bondage to this world and the sin and the things of this world. And look, you can go to all the programs and the get-fix stuff you want to, but if you don't come to Jesus, it's a burden just trying to stay right. He calls us sinners out of sin unto eternal life, out of bondage. In Luke 19:10, old Chris Christopherson sang a song one time. You can tell I'm an old hippie, can't you? Old Chris Christopherson sang a song one time about Jesus being a rebel and a revolutionary. He was not. He kept the whole law I can't keep. Amen. He kept every rule, every jot, every tittle. He was not a rebel. The Bible said in Luke 19:10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. Not rebel against the Romans. That's what the Jews thought. They were wrong. Not rebel against government. No. Hey, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Now, he calls us to that. You ever felt the call of God to salvation?
Yes.
I wasn't raised in church, but those 3 years I started going about 5 or 6 times before I got saved. Every time I'd go, I'd feel a tug to come to Jesus. And every time that preacher would be preaching, come to Jesus, I felt like I was the only one in the room. And that was God calling me. And he'd read me those scriptures, and that was God calling me. And I'd go home, and on Sunday mornings while my wife and kids was asleep, I was working at meal third shift, I'd turn on that TV and I'd get real close to it so they wouldn't hear it. And I was listening to old Dr. E.J. Daniels, the last of the great Southern Baptist evangelists. And every time I'd listen to him preach, I'd feel him calling me to Christ. Calling me to Christ. If somebody'd witness to me and tell me how good God been to them and how he'd be good to me, I'd feel that call. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him and the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit would draw me. He'd call, and I'd hear my name. I'd hear my name while he was preaching to everybody. I felt he was only talking to me. Have you ever felt that call? You ever felt that draw? Hey, you felt it. If you're not saved, you're feeling it right now. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Then number 2. 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord of hosts. Did you know he's got a call to us saints? After I got saved, I'd read the Bible, and I'd read about Moses, and I'd read about up Noah, and I'd read about all these others. And when I'd read their name, I felt like it was my name right there. Felt like it was my name. Some of y'all getting cold, ain't you? Is that funny? Listen, we need to give this job to somebody else. Listen. I do, and they don't do it. But listen, he calls us as Christians, and he says, come out from among them. Come out from among them. He said, I'll receive you unto myself.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a lot of Christians that's among them. Jason Coley preached a sermon one time. He called it Us and Them.
Yeah.
You're supposed to bring me that sermon. Us and Them. And he said, there's us who have trusted Christ, and now we've come out from among them. And then he went on to preach how us do this and them do that. Amen. And so you got saved. And God put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You ain't never going to die. You're going to live as long as God does. And now you're still out there running with those that's going to die, and they're still trapped in their sins, and they're still unhappy and miserable and all that stuff. Why would you do that? And every time you read the Bible, he's calling you out from among them. True story. A fellow told me one time, he said, Brother Ron, you're so heavenly minded, you know earthly good. I said, you're so earthly minded, you ain't no heavenly good. Come out from among them. Be separate. The world, the friends, the amusements. There's a lot of things we ought not do. There's a lot of people we ought not be around. Not that we hate them. It's just that they're not good for us. Now, we'd be good for them, but if you run with their crowd, it's usually the crowd that's going to win, not the individual. He calls us out from among false teachers and false preachers. There's a bunch of them today. The love of money. The Bible says they make merchandise of men's souls. They'll sell you out in a minute. If a publisher comes along and says, we got a new improved Bible, and if you'll get your people to buy it, we'll give you a commission. They'll have everybody in that church buying that corrupt Bible. Yeah. If some musician comes along and says, we are the newest and the greatest and the improved Christian contemporary rock, rap, heavy metal group that's ever entered a church, and we'll draw a crowd for you, and him thinking they'll get bigger offerings, he'll say, when you want to start? Don't get quiet on me now. He calls us to sinners to salvation. He calls us as saints to separation. Now you go on, you love everybody. Don't get me wrong, I love everybody. But there's some people you don't need to be around. And listen to this, parents. There's some people your kids don't need to be around too. It doesn't mean you hate those people. It doesn't mean you think you're better than those people. But it means you got enough biblical sense to know there's some people who will corrupt your children.
That's right.
What I just read in the paper yesterday, I think, was some guy got locked up for like 1,500 pictures of child pornography. I forget how many numbers it was. We got a cop in here. He probably knows it. These people will hurt your children. They'll hurt your wife. They'll hurt your husband. I'm talking about spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically.
Yes.
He calls us out from that. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Now, as a saint, every time I preach against stuff, that's a call to come out from among them.
Yes, that's right.
Don't you ever walk out here and say, well, that's just a pastor's opinion. Did I have scripture for it?
Come on now. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If the Bible says it, I'm going to say it. False teachers.
Yeah.
Now, you got a good local church, and to send your money off somebody like Benny Hinn would be a sin unto God.
Amen.
By the way, you do that, then you call him when you go to the hospital, see how quick he shows up. Call some evangelistic association that you throw money at, and call them, see if they come over to the nursing home and see your mama. Amen. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. God established a local church. And every time pastor and Tony Green's coming, we're going to have a Bible conference. And I'm calling it that because we're going to make a statement. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the King James Bible. I'm not ashamed of godly living. I'm not ashamed of a Christian home. And everybody else does it. Why can't we have one of those?
Amen.
And you ought to be here.
That's
That's more important than your kid's baseball game or softball game or volleyball game. Wait a minute, you got quiet right there. Come to salvation. Come out. By the way, you'll be a whole lot happier if you separate yourself from these things. See, while you're running all over the world trying to have fun, the world's going to hell. And you're going to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to give account for the time you've spent as a Christian doing things for God instead of the YMCA. By the way, they can take Christian off of that one. Why not Christian? Young people's sports fellowship. But look here, what'll come out from under? And then he calls us like he did to Samuel. Look at Luke 14. I want you to turn there, and I want you to mark this. The others you're very familiar with. Look at Luke 14, verse 26 and 27. Say amen when you get to Luke 14, 26 and 27. I love the sound of pages rustling. That iPad Bible stuff don't make that. It's got a squeak sometimes when you go across that screen. If any man come to me and hate not his father or mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now he calls the saints to service. Now that's more than a call to salvation. That's more than even a call to separation. This is a call to leave all and carry a cross and serve him. Now don't misunderstand what it says. It doesn't say you ought to hate your mama. There's a commandment, you ought to honor your mother and your father and you'll live long, okay? What it's saying is, if you put these people or anything else above Jesus Christ and you don't serve him because you're so busy serving them, you're not my disciple. And compared for your love to me and serving me and your love for them and serving them, the love for me and the service for me would look like hate to them. My children growing up, I was pretty hard on my kids. They'll tell you I wasn't, but I was. The only reason they tell you I wasn't because they didn't know any better. But I was kind of tough. And sometimes I was extreme. But you know, I'd rather go a little bit too far to over right than I would a little bit too far over wrong.
Amen.
A fellow told me one time, said, your girl's going to grow up to rebel, and they're going to get out in that world, and it's going to ruin them because you wouldn't let them experience the world while they were growing up. I said, my Bible nowhere says I'm supposed to let my children experience the world. My Bible says I'm going to bring them out from among them. That doesn't mean they can't have friends. And it didn't mean I hated my children. But I wanted them to love him more than they love me. It's him they've got to please, not me. Amen. So there's a call to salvation, there's a call to separation, but there's a call to service. About 5% of the average Baptist church now does all the work. What many amens on that one? About 10% pays the bills. And there's a lot of spectators. Now don't get me wrong, if you never join this church, I'm glad you're here. I'll help you. I'll preach to you. I'll be there at the hospital if you want me. But somebody's got to work the field.
Amen.
Everybody wants to sit at the table and nobody wants to cook. And then everybody wants to eat, but nobody wants to wash the dishes. And everybody wants to sit on a nice padded seat, but they don't want to buy one. I better go on. Want to serve him. The Christ's cross calls out for us to serve him. And I'm not going to turn there, but Hebrews 13, verse 12 and 13, I think it is. It says we're sanctified by the blood of the cross. Sanctified means set apart for God's service. We're set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ, not to just sit and soak, but to rise up and serve God. There's a call to serve God. Do you know how hard it is to get Sunday school teachers? Do you know how hard it is to keep Sunday school teachers? Do you know how hard it is to get anybody to do anything in the local church? Other than show up. I'm glad you're here. If you don't do it, I will. I've always done it. I'll keep on doing it. It's always like that in that, well, most churches. But the thing is, if you'll serve God, you'll get just as much joy out of it as I do. I love doing it. Fella fussed at me. I rented a tractor and scraped off that parking lot and fixed some bad places, extended it here and there, dug a ditch with that tractor. I think I spent about 14 hours on that thing. I went home and every bone, I forgot they don't have shock absorbers on them. And you look at this the whole time. 14 hours of doing it. And I forgot. And I forgot I'm old. I'm old. And I wake up that next morning, I'm walking around like this. But you know what? I enjoyed myself.
Amen. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Brother Krauts fussed at me, told my wife to fuss at me, said, tell him I could have come over there and helped him, and he could have, but I was kind of greedy. I drove every kind of tractor. I got a 10-foot blade bulldozer stuck in mud up to the seat one time and loved every minute of it. I had to go get a backhoe to dig it out. Let me tell you something. I love it. Serving God, you won't find anything more enjoyable than serving God. Hey, Sister Pat sends out cards, get well cards and love you cards and birthday cards. Pat's legally blind. Of all the people in this building that could make an excuse not to write a card that she can only see, it's Pat. You know why? She won't let nobody take it. Amen. Serving God. Find something you can do and go at it.
Amen.
You have talents. God's given them. Problem is, most of you buried them somewhere. You got talents. Use them. And God calls you to serve Him. God calls you to serve Him. And don't wait for me to tell you how. I don't know what your talent He gave you is. The Great Commission cries out to us to serve Him. The Great Commission. He said, go ye. Go's an action word. He didn't say please. He didn't say, you know, if you feel like it ain't raining and it's not cold, you know, and everything's good at home, you know, and everything's lovely. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No, he just said, go! Get up and go!
Yes.
I forgot to announce it. I wrote it down somewhere. And if I don't write it down, I'll always forget it. I'm starting a new ministry for men here on Thursday mornings. Some of you men are tired. You ain't got a stinking thing to do, but piddle around the house. Your wife's got you washing dishes and making up beds. And listen, I'm going to start a new ministry, and it's going to call Retired But Not Rusted Men's Ministry. The Lord gave me that this morning. It just come to me. Retired But Not Rusted. And on Thursday mornings, if you'll come, I'll meet you here at 10 o'clock and we'll pair off. And we got some sick folks need visiting. We got shut-ins need visiting. We got some folks that are lost need visiting. We're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Retired but not rusted. Now, if you're over 65, you don't show up, I'll say he's rusted. I'm going to have a rusted list. We're going to put it on the screen every Sunday. The men that are rusted over 65 and older. Because he calls you. Hey, did you know, somebody asked me one day, he said, preacher, when are you going to retire? I said, there are two things about that. Number one, most pastors don't have a retirement money. No. And number two, I can't find it in the Bible. So every Sunday, when I don't feel like coming to church, I don't retire, I refire.
Amen.
Amen. And y'all have to run me off from up here. When I get old and can't do it, run me off. But until then, I ain't going nowhere. I'm not retiring. Amen. And I'm certainly not going to rust. I'll get some WD-40 and put on those knuckles. They tell me it works. And I'll spray it on my hand, everything. Rub it on my face, do whatever you got to do. But God calls us to serve Him and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hebrews 12, look at Hebrews 12, verse 1. I want to show you another reason that we need to surrender to service. Hebrews chapter 12, a lot of you already know it, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about, surrounded, with so great, that means a bunch of them, innumerable, cloud of witnesses, that's people that's watching us. Let us lay aside every weight. Weight, you know what that is, something you ought not have and it's holding you down. A weight and a sin. Not everything's a sin that holds you back. Some of it just wait. Might be mama, daddy, brother, sister. That's what he was talking about. And lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, hold us back. Look at this. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a race we're supposed to be running. This is not a country club. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. There's a call to salvation. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. There's a call to service. Take up your cross daily and follow me. All creation cries out. That great cloud of witnesses is right up there.
Amen.
Now, I know the world's our witnesses, but that's the great cloud of witnesses. And they're leaning over the banisters of heaven. Y'all young people don't know what a banister is. This is a banister. We used to have those on our stairs. And they'd lean up and say, "You preach it, Brother Ron! You keep running, Brother Ron! Don't give up, Brother Ron!" And they're hollering for you.
Yes.
Sister Mary, after you work 12 hours, don't you give up, Sister Mary. You keep running that race. You keep doing what I've called you to do. And it calls us to salvation, and it calls the saints, and it calls us to service, and all of creation hears it. And then last but not least, Hebrews 9:27 says, "But it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment." One day you're going to get your final call. Maybe you've been called already. You've been saved. If you haven't, today would be a good day to do that. Maybe you've heard your call today to the saints to separate and to serve. Maybe you've heard that. Maybe you've seen where the cross of Christ cries out by His blood. Maybe you've seen that the commission of Jesus Christ tells us to go. And maybe today, you've never really thought about it, but there is a final call. If you ever rode an airplane, which I hate airplanes, the flying don't bother me. It's taking off and landing. It scares me. I think, is that guy up there drunk? Is he awake? Will this thing hold together? And for some reason, they always set me over the wing. And that wing goes while you're flying. And you can hear the bolts under you cracking while it's flying. And I've always asked to sit at the back. The lady asked me one time, "Why you want to sit at the back?" I said, "Well, I've seen a lot of pictures of these planes crash the back. It's the last to hit. I ain't never seen one back into anything." But you'll be sitting out there waiting and waiting and waiting. And this woman come over there and come, "Final call, flight 101, final call, final call, final call." A few minutes later, she said, final call. There was a bunch of women riding, final call to flight 101. But you're going to get your final call one day.
Amen.
You know, I've had the call to salvation. I received it. I've had the call to separation. I've done it, and I'm still doing it. Now, I've had a call to service, and I've been doing that since 1981.
And I don't fear the last call. And one of these days, I'm going to be laying in that bed or sitting on the couch. I might be driving. I hope I ain't. He said,
Samuel.
And then finally he said,
Samuel. Samuel!
I don't think he's going to call him anymore. I think that was it. And one day I'm going to be laying there and he's going to say,
Ron.
Mike. Bill. Belinda. Terry. You're going to hear it. Now, my question is, are you going to be ready?
Yes. Amen.
Nobody wants to die. I'm not in a hurry to die. And it's not that I fear dying. I've just never been there before. And it's scary to do something you've never experienced before. But I know he'll be there, and I think we sing that song, He'll Hold My Hand as Over Death's River I Go. But you're going to have a final call. You teenagers, I've preached funerals of all kinds. Newborn baby, down to a newborn baby. My mama's 99.5 years old, and everything in between. I had a friend that died in a motorcycle accident when he was 15. I had another one that when he was 20-something, he fell off a horse and hit his head and died. I've had others stabbed, shot, overdose, liver failure. You're not too young to die. And certainly as we get older, we'll have enough sense to get ready for the final call.
Amen. Yes.
I preached down there in Sherrod at that nursing home. You ever been down there, brother? And it used to be, they're probably in heaven now. It used to be two, I think they were twins, black legs. They'd get up there and they'd start going. Packing up, getting ready to go. Packing up, getting ready to go. Mama done packed, she done gone. Packing up, getting ready to go. They'd go through the whole thing. Daddy done packed, he done gone. Packing up, getting ready to go. I packed my bags March 5th, 1978. I've been ready to take my final flight ever since then. Doesn't scare me. He'll hold my hand.
Amen.
What about you? Let's stand. Father.